And now joining us by phone is Martin Luther King III. He is the president and co-founder of the Drum Major Institute, which is a nonprofit with a mission to eradicate poverty and racism through advocacy, empowerment, and education. Mr. King, thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You know, obviously, whenever we lose our civil rights giants, there's always the connection to your father. I want to begin by asking you to recall the first time you met Julian Bond.
Gosh, that's a very good question. I don't exactly remember the first time we met, but he was in and out of our home on many occasions, and in fact, I believe this was certainly after Dad's passing, but he lived three doors down from us on Sunset, the home where I grew up, my family home. And, of course, I would see him and sort of grew up with his children over the years, driving from Sunset, I guess, to the state legislature or wherever he was going at that particular time. So as I grew up, I saw him more, or I remember more as I got older than when I was a small child. But I'm sure when I was a young child, he was in as many civil and human rights leaders and just people from all over the country and the world were in and out of our home as we grew up.
And he was not just a key figure here in Georgia and in Atlanta politics. As you know, he was known around the country and in other parts of the world, and certainly you grew up in a household that was familiar with that. Did he ever say anything to you about how he felt about that personal magnetism that he had and how to turn that into a strategy to achieve the goals he was trying to achieve?
Not personally, but I certainly shared brief conversations with him over the years, and as one who admired his tenacity, his intellect, and one of the things he was a great lover of culture and the arts, and certainly of jazz. Probably had one of the most massive collections of music of anyone ever, and those were some of the things that I'm aware of. But as it related to him being a communicator, clearly he was one of the most articulate communicators of our time as it related to the message of civil and human rights, and often ahead of the curve. But I never had a personal conversation on those issues with him, but I certainly was able to, as many, admire his leadership, admire his intellect, and admire the fact that sometimes he took positions that were really very unpopular. I can't imagine how one would feel being in the legislature and your colleagues basically don't want to have anything to do with you because you've taken a position against a war that you thought was unjust and unfair. So over the years, you learn resilience, I believe, and that's one of the qualities one of the many qualities that certainly he possessed.
And you mentioned his skill as a communicator. That certainly came into play when he narrated the PBS series Eyes on the Prize, which is still watched in homes and classrooms today. When you look at that series, which of course talks so much about your father, how important was it to have a voice like Julian Bond's, which not only was a great voice and a great speaking style, but someone who was there and who was a part of it all?
Well, I think that was critically important because of the true connection. It's one thing for, certainly you can hire a voice and it can read a script, but to have one who actually experienced many of the activities that actually were talked about, was certainly most appropriate and something that will last throughout the ages, that young people need to learn about the modern civil rights movement today. And some are, and some of those techniques are being applied as it relates to some of the struggles that we're going through in our nation, because we still have not addressed what my dad called were the triple evils, and my mom Vietnam throughout their lives of eradicating poverty, racism, militarism, and violence from our society. But I am convinced that we will someday address these issues, and we will have a much better nation and world than the nation and world that exists today.
And Mr. King, this leads me to the next question. When you talk about the youth and continuing to look at what needs to be done in society, and you talked about the strategies of the civil rights movement, and obviously your father's importance in that and his legacy in place, as well as Julian Bond, are you concerned, though, in terms of looking at the current, with this grassroots movements or faith-based movements, that there's still a disconnect in everyone coming together to address these issues, which... for a large part, there is a discussion in the African-American community that there's no unity, and that's part of the problem.
Well, you know, I guess when we look at the concept of unity, clearly, if there was more unity tomorrow, literally, or certainly within 6 months, most of these issues could be addressed. But the reality is there really never has just been unity in our society. It's always been a few good women and men who worked to bring about change. If the masses were always at the table, we would move in a very positive trajectory immediately. But it usually is not. It's just, as I say, a few good women and men. So I see movements emerging, you know, all over the country, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's some of the other progressive groups that exist around the nation, or even conservative groups. And what would be ideal is for conservative groups and progressive groups to come together around more issues. For example, we know around criminal justice, very, very extremely conservative groups and progressive groups have come together to talk about how we address some of the issues in terms of criminal justice. And I think we have to always find things that we agree on and then build a bridge to resolve those issues. We may not agree on every issue. The country certainly is very divided now, but it is my hope that somehow we become closer together. And I think we have to challenge mainstream media to not ignite things. They are our business, so if intellectually, if you understand what they're doing what works for them business-wise. But the goal has got to be, how do we bring our nation together? How do we bring our communities together? How do we address these vast issues that certainly by now in 2015, many of them should be behind us, with a nation where you have 46, 47, maybe even 50 or 60 million people living in poverty? That's unacceptable. Those are certainly the kind of things that, as a human rights activist, Julian Bond and others not just spoke about, but lived their lives to make our society better for all.
All right. Martin Luther King III is the president and co-founder of the Drum Major Institute. He's been reflecting on the life and legacy of Julian Bond. Mr. King, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have a statement from another child of a major civil rights leader, Elizabeth Omalami, from Hosea Helps, daughter of Hosea Williams, of course. These are her words. As our elders transition, it is our responsibility as their offspring to continue a legacy of equality and justice for all. Today in our society, we need leadership, we need hope, we need guidance, and we need a change to save our youth, to save our country.